preaching on this later, so he's reading this reading. And oh, my dear, I am so sorry. We prayed for his back before the service. You now need to pray for his left foot.
It's such a good job Fiona is such a light lady, isn't it? Romans 8, verses 1 to 11. It's page 1134 in the Bibles in front of you, unless you're on the front row and they're behind you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. But you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This indeed is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to try and avoid Peter from now on. I'll keep at least a foot away from him if I can. We're going to sing again, Jesus Christ, I think, upon your sacrifice. And so we now come to our gospel reading. perhaps another response at the end, but I'll bring it up on the screen.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. As Fiona's already given the game away, it is my intention to speak particularly on Romans. Let me just pray for a moment. Father, we pray this morning that we will hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. In your name, amen. But before we just move into Romans, when you prepare for a talk, you look at both passages, obviously, and something in Matthew 13 and verse 21 actually sort of gripped me, jumped out at me, was impacted by it. And it was this: but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And on the screen is a picture of a tree, I'm reliably reported, where the roots have been attacked and the roots are diminishing, and it's just actually died. And I think as we look at Romans in a moment, it's this being rooted or not being rooted is a significant point. And I want to suggest this morning that all of us, the speaker, the listeners, the vicar, the curates, or whoever, we all need to be rooted in God. We need to be rooted in God, or else we will not keep growing. Something else will happen. So here's an example of abundance roots. It's one of these trees in somewhere in Asia, I believe, where the roots grow outside the ground, but they just go down deep. But if we're not rooted, we will stop growing. If we're not rooted, we will become unfruitful, and eventually we will spiritually die. So that's a little sort of a lever or a kickstart for what we want to think about this morning in Romans. So that's the passage that I read to you a few moments ago. And I believe this passage offers some powerful roots that help us live, help us grow in the Christian faith. Here's some of them. We're free from guilt. We're free from condemnation. We're free from law keeping. We're free from human works. By that, We mean that our salvation, maintaining our salvation, living a life for Jesus is not dependent exclusively on what we do. We are called to do good works, but we don't begin there and we don't maintain there. That's a result of our relationship with God. And this is because Jesus has dealt with the root problem of sin. There's a play on the word roots there. Did you notice that? Good. You're allowed to nod occasionally. It helps the speaker. So a little play on roots there. So Jesus has dealt with that root problem, and it's set us free. So those are real keys for living in relationship with God and having our roots going down deep. But also, it says we have our minds set on what the Spirit desires. And that's a key thing for me this morning. I do believe, according to some people, I have a bit of a reputation that when I speak, I like to speak about the Holy Spirit. And then I get given Romans 8, 1 to 11. What do you expect me to speak about? 10 times in the 11 verses, the word Spirit is there, with a capital S. There's another time when it's the human spirit. So this morning, you're going to get something about this. Having our minds set on what the Spirit desires. Our reading says it's possible to have your mind set on fleshly, carnal, earthly, worldly things, whatever term you want to use. And if we major on those, if we live in those, that's what we'll get. That's where we'll be. That will be our experience. But if we major or begin to focus our minds on what the Spirit desires, if we line up with His wishes and His will and His purposes for our life, then our whole outlook, our whole persona will be different. Things will change for us. We'll be rooted. We'll grow deep. We'll be fruitful and we will live. And he's also told that the Spirit gives life and peace. And I believe the Spirit is absolutely vital in helping us to be rooted in Christ and to live lives that are fruitful. I hope you like that picture. I just thought it was a fantastic... I believe somebody in an aeroplane took that, I assume, or a high diver, high flyer. But just that sense of space, that sense of brightness of the Spirit of God is so vital in that, in helping us. But as ever, when I think about things, when I talk, I like to ask the questions of the how. How does this work for us? How do we set our minds on the Spirit? How can our roots be deepened and strengthened? And let's look at this, because I'm convinced you and I need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and then to obey Him. Does the Holy Spirit speak to you? Are you aware? I'm going to give you two examples at the end of this talk in my life in the last couple of weeks where the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. And neither of them will be a sort of like an echoey voice with bells and trumpets. It doesn't work like that for me very often. And I suggest it won't work like that for you. We'll hear the Holy Spirit speak in everyday, ordinary situations, in conversations, in circumstances, and we look back and we realize the Holy Spirit was speaking. And to hear His voice, we do need to spend time with Him. Joy and I, we have a rule in our house. As a teacher, most evenings she's working till 10, 11, sometimes midnight. Friday night is our night. That's why you won't get me coming out very often to things on a Friday night. And we'll go to the curry house or to the Italian or somewhere, or even have a takeaway, but we'll sit. And the idea is that we talk to each other. Because if we don't talk to each other, then we're not gonna actually be spending time. We're not just going to hear what we have to say. And because Joy hears different things to me, we had conversations in front of a third party, and they report that both of us didn't hear what the other person said. Perhaps that's one of my non-gifts. I'm not good at hearing. And perhaps she's not. So we need to spend time. And it's more true of the Holy Spirit. We need to have time with Him whereby we hear Him speaking to us. And I've listed some things, that some practical ways in which you and I engage in, hopefully quite regularly and easily, He will speak to us. First of all, in reading Scripture, reading the Bible, that we need to do more than just when we come to church, listen to the Bible being read. We need to engage with the Bible on a more regular basis, ideally every day, if that's possible in our time scale. I have found using Bible notes in the last few years to one of the most helpful. I rejected them years ago. I thought, you know, I don't need that. But I've actually found daily Bible notes with a couple of scriptures and some thoughts and a prayer really helpful. There's all sorts out there, all varieties. If you've not tried them, if you're looking for something to help you discipline yourself to read Scripture regularly, try one of these. They can be really helpful. And then we need to listen to preaching and teaching. That's not because I'm standing here saying that. But we have some good preaching in this church. I think you'll agree.
People have left this church to go to other places, other parts of the country. And a consistent theme that comes back is, it's quite good where we are, but it's not like St. Paul's. We have a level of preaching that is so good, so challenging, so provocative, so theological, so clear and correct. And now we've got a new one on the team. Can he live up to the standard? No pressure. But seriously, we can hear the Holy Spirit. There have been times when particularly Simon has said something, and I've not heard the next 10 sentences he said, because what he's just said has triggered a reaction in me, and I'm off at a tangent thinking about that. That's okay. We'd like you to hear everything we say, but sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit does. He focuses on something, and then we dwell on that. We consider that. We chew on that like a cow would chew on the cud. We give ourselves to worship, and that is more than singing. That's a lifestyle where we have times of quiet and we just think about how great God is and what he's done for us. And we find worship rises up. And for me, during worship, that's one of the best times for me to hear the Holy Spirit. And we need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians, to be being filled, an ongoing, continuous experience. And we need to receive and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Since the church weekend, I've been in quite repentant confession mood. God has spoken to me. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I am genuinely saddened. I want you to hear this. I'm really saddened that some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of speaking in tongues, is seen by so many people as weird, controversial, or divisive. I'm really saddened by that. And if I've played any part in adding to that, I want to confess to this church this morning my regret. But I tell you, it's the most wonderful gift for being in relationship with the Holy Spirit, for hearing from God. It's quiet prayer. It's sometimes singing. It isn't noisy in public that often. It's more of a private, personal thing. But for those who rejected it on the basis that it's weird, controversial, or divisive, I would plead with you, beg with you, think again, be open to what God wants to give us in this way. Because it's a precious gift. It's for our blessing, for our good, and for the blessing of others as we grow in him. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit and to pray in the Spirit so that we build ourselves up in our faith. There are two examples that I want to give you. First of all, the Holy Spirit spoke through my wife, Joy. I said a few minutes ago, we don't always understand each other. I did on this one. I'm just going to go away from the mic, sorry. We were driving up Beresford Road, where dear Marie lives. We're going home from a curry evening. It was a Friday night, just a few weeks ago. And a lady in a big 4x4 was blocking the road as she unloaded suitcases. And also, she'd been on holiday. It was quite obvious, the stuff she was loading, and she had no help. A guy coming the other way had stopped, so she couldn't go anywhere else. And I'm behind her. And Joy, and this is that Joy said to me, her Joy was driving, she said, I will reverse and turn around and go up the next road because it's so easy to do that where I live. But I said, no, this woman shouldn't be doing this. We'll stay here. We'll embarrass her. I didn't say that. That's what I'm thinking. We'll embarrass her. We'll make her feel bad. So we stayed there and the other guy stayed there and you could feel the tension building up. This lady is tired and Joy again says, I think I'll reverse and turn around. Both the times Joy spoke, that was the Holy Spirit saying, turn around and go home the other way. I believe it's the simple thing, it's a silly thing perhaps. And of course then I engaged this lady in conversation, saying she was very naughty to part where she was. She said she was very tired and she'd just come back from a long 4 or 5 hour journey. I was unsympathetic. A really good occasion it was. I'm really proud of myself. Not. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit's voice was so simple. Turn around, get out of this situation. Don't add to this woman's woes. Don't be like the other guy on the other side, aggressive. But I didn't listen. I didn't take any notice. And of course, 2 hours later, I'm saying to my wife, you were right. I'm sorry. I should have done that. I should have listened to you. I was not hearing the Holy Spirit. And the second thing was Andy Higford at the church weekend. I hope those of you in time saw some of the slides on the screen for what happened. He had a fantastic weekend. I know if you weren't there, you don't want people going on saying it was fantastic because you weren't there. But it really was fantastic. And I can only say that. But Andy Higford, the friend of Simon and Heather's, and great speaker, shared with us I can't even remember the details of what he shared, because they're not important anymore. It was the end of the second session. The end of the second session, we had 20 minutes left. Ideal time for prayer ministry, but no, we didn't do that. We went out into our different places, and Joy and I went for a walk. And I realised that in the last months, probably longer, I've become very critical and cynical about things. And I was getting very angry, and I was not willing to serve in the way. I used to think I was quite good at these things. And I realised I fell into the trap of thinking, because I could do something 10 years ago, I'd just keep doing it. But now I'd lost something. And as we went for this walk and Joy and I were talking, I realised that the place that I'd been most critical, the place that was impacting my life, was actually being critical about the Church of England. Now, you know me. I'm not an Anglican by background. I don't understand a lot of the things we do. I'm listening to the news this morning and, you know, gay bishops and women bishops, and it's all the media's only interested in talking about that. So they don't talk about Jesus. They don't talk about salvation and redemption and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And I got caught up in that. I don't understand why we baptize babies. I'll be really honest with you this morning. I don't see it in the Bible. Not my tradition. Don't understand why some blokes in the DAC can tell us whether we can have yellow curtains or not, or whether we can get rid of the organ loft. You know, but this is it. I got to the place where I angrily said to God, probably a year and a half ago, I said to God, I'm so cross with all of this. I am not an Anglican. Do you know what he said to me? He said, neither am I. Get over it and get on with it. And what I had done was I'd said, oh, God's not an Anglican. That's good. But I'd not got over it and I'd not got on with it. And this week I did, I believe. I wrote to the staff team and I said, please forgive me. I want to change. My views are still there. I haven't rescinded what I believe. But what has changed is hopefully a heart attitude, because I was listening this time to the Holy Spirit, who spoke so clearly. That's what I want to encourage you. The issues for you may be totally different. Here, listen to the Holy Spirit, because that's so important. I want to pray this prayer to close. Lord, we choose right now to be open to the voice of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we choose right now to be open to the voice of your Holy Spirit. Speak to us, we pray. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. Let our roots go deeper into you. And may we be fruit bearers for you. And I hope you can say amen at the end of that. Amen. Thank you.